Well, this morning we're going to look at what must be the best known and most loved of all the Psalms. Attend a funeral service and you're probably likely to hear it. Go to enough school assemblies and you're more than likely to sing it. And go into just about any Christian bookshop and you'll find a whole range of tacky objects and strange things inscribed with it. Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. But why is it so popular? Well, I suppose on one level it's popular because it contains words of great comfort for those who are going through times of trial. And we all go through those times. So in a way, at different points in our lives, it's extremely relevant to us. But why is it so comforting? Why is this psalm so comforting? Well, I put it to you, the main reason is because it tells us what our God is like and how much he cares for us, and as a result, what he can do for us in those kind of difficult situations. So what we're going to look at this morning is we're going to look at this psalm and we're going to ask ourselves the question, what does this tell us about God? What does this say about God to us? Now, David knew all about shepherds and what they did. Well, he was a shepherd. So that's why I think when he chose to talk about God's loving kindness, he begins, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." And that tells us something about the nature of our God. Because I read it again early this morning and I thought, well, what doesn't it say? It doesn't say, the Lord is a shepherd. It doesn't say, the Lord is the shepherd. No, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. That tells us that our God is a God of relationship. He's a God who's personal. He wants us to know him personally. And like a shepherd, he cares for each one of us in a personal, intimate way. I remember hearing a story a few years back, and it was a sad story. It was a Christian family and their son, who wasn't very old, was really taken to hospital with a very serious illness indeed. And as it got to the end, it seemed like he was going to go on to be with the Lord, but the pain drugs weren't working so well as they were at the beginning. And his mum sat by his bed and said, "Son, I've got an idea what you could do. When it gets uncomfortable, hold your hand like this and say to yourself, 'The Lord is my shepherd.'" Just do that physically," she said to him. "The Lord is my shepherd." And later on that night, she had to go out to take a telephone call. And the nurse came to get her and said, "I'm afraid your son's died." She said, "But there's something rather strange about his hands." She said, What do you mean?" And when the nurse took the mum back into the son's room, he was like this. He was like this. And the nurse said, "It's a strange way to have your hands." Oh no, it isn't," said his mum. "You see, the Lord is my shepherd." He was his personal God, and he'd gone to be in the arms of the shepherd who was his personal shepherd. And that's really what this psalm's about. It's about knowing God personally and deeply and intimately for who he is. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You see, because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in need. That tells us something about our God. He is Jehovah Jireh. That's the Hebrew name for God, which means the Lord who provides. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, my provider. You know, to know the names of God is to know something about God. The name Bob, I don't think the name Bob means very much at all. Well, it's rather a good name to have if you're dyslexic. But apart from that, it really doesn't mean very much at all, I don't think. But the names of God are like name descriptions of God in the Bible. And the great thing about that is, even though we look at the name of God that was written about him 3,000-4,000 years ago, it still stands true today, because I, the Lord, do not change. To know him is to know him for all times. And that's how he reveals himself, as the Lord, my provider, Jehovah Jireh. Don't know if you know where that name crops up, but it crops up in the story of Abraham in Genesis 22:14. So Abraham called that place, where he'd taken his son and God had provided the offering in the place of his son, Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. That's where that name comes in. And it's said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And wasn't it just on Calvary? Abraham knew that God could provide for all his needs. And many years later, David himself discovered that his shepherd could provide for all his needs, even when he was standing alone in a valley facing a giant 10 times his size. Yeah, David knew that. And this morning, I believe God wants us to know that. That for us too, for you and for me, as we come to 2011 and all that that has for us, let us know at the beginning, beyond any doubt, that he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord, your provider. And he's the Lord, my provider. And the great thing about God is that we can decide to take our needs to the God who is our provider, and he won't get tired of us. You know, with our kids keep pulling us and saying, can I have this, can I have that? Eventually we kind of get tired. God doesn't get tired of that. He will never tire of your asking him, of your needing him. And what's more, you are unable to ask beyond his ability to supply. His supplies are limitless, and his grace is unparalleled. The only thing that can hinder his provision in our situation is our failure to ask, or us asking with the wrong attitude, meaning he provides everything we need, not necessarily everything that we want. There's a difference between that. But given that, his provision is utterly, utterly reliable. I've got a friend who David knows too, a man called Alec Mattia. He's the wrong side of 80, and I remember being wound up about something a few years back, and I thought, well, I'll phone him up because he's cleverer than me, which he is. And I phoned him. I said, "Hi, Alec." I said, "I've got a bit of a problem," and I told him about this problem. He was very patient. "Yes, dear Bob, tell me more." I said, "Well, blah, blah, blah." He said, "Yes, that must be terrible. Tell me more." Blah, 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 blah. And I said, "The thing is, I'm so worried about it." He said, "Yes, dear Bob, I can see exactly where you're coming from. And well, why pray when you can worry? Why pray when you can worry?" You see, we've got to cultivate in our lives a habit of going to God when we need something. And let's cut out some of this unnecessary stress and strife and worry and stuff, and just go straight to the God who can supply our needs. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters." What does that tell us about God? It tells us this. He is Jehovah Shalom. Now, probably you recognize that word a bit more. Jehovah Shalom. That is the Lord my peace. First used in Judges chapter 6, verse 24. Here is a picture of peace, this quiet waters. This picture of rest, of stillness. You see, there is a peace that can come from God, even in the midst of a storm, that can only come from him and from no one or nowhere else. He says in Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That's the peace of God. And because he's our shepherd, because we've got this personal relationship with him, so we can know the peace that comes from this relationship and comes from this relationship alone. I remember a few months back I visited a primary school. A friend of mine's got one in London. I went in there and this sort of 6-year-old came up to me and he was going, you know, some of those kids do that and they want you to notice them. He's going, so I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I'm so stressed." I thought, he's 6. And he's stressed. I'm stressed out. Well, you know, there are going to be some things in this coming year that can stress you out. I can guarantee that. Because there's going to be some things coming my way that are going to stress me out. And that's when we need to turn to God, because he's the God of peace. The only antidote for stress is peace. And isn't it wonderful? You know the Prince of Peace personally. If I was young, I'd say, how cool is that? He restores my soul and guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. See, after he's brought us to that place of peace, he then sets about restoring us, bringing us back to what we should be. The word there is nephesh for soul or spirit, but it's actually much more far-reaching than just soul. We don't have one word to express all the meanings of that word translated soul there, nephesh. I think the King James Version uses, 28 different words at various times to translate that one word into English. And the problem is basically to do with the way that we view things. You know, our understanding has often come from the old Greek understanding of what a person is. And what the Greeks did is they split us up into different bits. You know, there's the physical bit, and there's the spiritual bit, and there's the emotional bit. And they viewed people like that, that each part of us is completely separate and self-contained and unconnected. But you see, in the minds of the people of the day when this psalm was written, it wasn't like that at all. If I was posh, I'd say we were viewed as a psychosomatic unity, but I don't know what that means. So let's just say that everything's one. It all affects the other. And of course, modern medicine's began to catch up with that over the last couple of 100 years, hasn't it? Don't worry, or you'll get an ulcer. There you go. It's connected, isn't it? The whole thing. So when it says he restores my soul, it means God restores everything. That is my spirit and physically and emotionally and the whole thing that makes me me and you you. That's what he wants to restore. And actually, that's the verb that's used in the New Testament for salvation. The word there is wholeness. To be whole is to be in relation with God. So then the Lord is the one who restores our souls, our inner person, our emotions, our passion, our desire, our mind. So when we're feeling like this, low, run down, weary, washed up, you know, those kind of post-Christmas type feelings, when we feel like that, then we need to go to the Lord, who is the Lord our restorer. And often we find that it's just supernaturally God just comes alongside us and lifts us up on wings like eagles. And let me say to you, there's no shame in this. There's no shame in admitting our need to be restored by God. From the greatest Christian leader to the newest convert in the church, it's the same thing. You know, I'm supposed to be the leader of the church. I need God to restore me at the beginning of this year. I do. And I want it too. I want him to restore me. There's no shame in that. It's a wonderful thing. It's just acknowledging God for who he is. He's the God who restores. That's part of who he is. So we come to him. You know, he's called Jehovah Rophe. Anyone know what that means? Jehovah Rophe. That's exactly right. Come on then. That's right. That's the Lord my healer. Jehovah Rophe, the Lord who heals. That comes in Exodus 15:26. And there you are. That's his desire to heal us, to make us whole. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, part of the job of a shepherd is to guide his sheep in the right direction. And the Lord's way, we're told, is the way of righteousness. However true that is, though, as Isaiah says in 53:6, we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So when we've gone astray, we need to be forgiven. When we need to have our feet put back on God's path, where do we turn? We turn to Jehovah Tsidkenu. Sounds like a kind of boat, but it's not. It's the Hebrew for the Lord my righteousness. That comes in Jeremiah 23:6, those of you who take notes and stuff. The Lord is our righteousness. He takes away our sin and clothes us in his righteousness. He is the way to the path, and praise God, he is the path. He's both. Righteousness equals Jesus Christ plus nothing. He is my righteousness. And the temptation is, when we've gone astray, well, to walk away from him, isn't it? And to feel guilt and failure and embarrassment and pride kicks in. But actually, the solution is to walk straight to him, because he is the solution. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Fear. Well, at one point or another, fear faces us all. When people start talking about diets and offering me lettuce leaves, you know, that's fear for me. But, you know, seriously, there are things that frighten us, that are going to face us in the coming year, aren't there? You know, John's frightened of having to work with me for another year. There's things that fill us with fear. Maybe illness, exams, finances, difficult situations, relationships, uncertainty, sudden events, unexpected circumstances, and so on. It doesn't matter what it is that frightens us, but there's only one thing that we can do in the face of something that frightens us. And I would say this, we conquer fear by meeting it head on with faith. We conquer fear by meeting it head on with faith. Faith in who God is. Some people teach that once you become a Christian, you will walk in victory and never have another problem. Well, I don't teach that because when I look at the life of Jesus, it wasn't like that for him. That's why I don't teach that. And also, it's not true as well. That would be another reason why I don't teach that, I suppose. But Jesus himself, he encountered disbelief, disloyalty, hostility, rejection, hatred, misunderstanding. He was beaten, he was laughed at, and eventually crucified. And my friends, if we live on this planet, we're going to get our fair share of troubles come our way. Whether a Christian or not, I'm not sure it makes a difference, actually, in terms of what gets thrown at you by life. But what does make a difference is that if we are Christian, if we know the shepherd as our shepherd, as my shepherd. This I do know. The Lord, my shepherd, promises to be in those situations with me. That is true. And that is very different to someone who doesn't know him. And that's real. And that's why we need not be afraid. Not because the problems aren't there, but because he is there. His name is Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. You find that in Ezekiel 48, chapter 35. Or, of course, Christmas, his name is Emmanuel, isn't it? God with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you, says the Lord, our ever-present help in times of trouble. He is with me, and his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Not only does the Lord promise us his presence, he also grants us his power at work in our lives. You see, the rod, that beats off the enemy. It's also actually biblically the symbol of authority. And the crook's staff, it snatches us away from harm's way. It's the instrument of support. And together they comfort, or they reassure us. They reassure us. John 10:27-28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. What is it this year that can snatch me out of God's hand? What is it that can do it? Nothing. Praise God. What is it this year that can snatch you out of God's hand? One, two, three. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But note something, and it's this: you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Note, the enemies are still there. But nevertheless, in the middle of that, we get a picture of the Lord's abundant provision. But you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. This picture of abundance, of more than you need, of more than you can contain, more than you can cope with. He provides what we spiritually need. I mean, oils, of course, is a symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, the powerful presence of God. And here's the picture of God pouring out his blessings on his sheep, on his people, in abundance. And he provides not just one time in the present, but he goes on providing in the future for all time. Surely goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So then this psalm shows us something of what God is like, who he is, and how he answers some of the deep human needs that we all have. So please, my friends, as we come to a close on what we're thinking about today, don't just walk away and forget what you've heard. Decide to apply it in your life. In your times of prayer, why not begin for praising him for who he is? If you're confused or you're lost, then turn to the shepherd and he will guide and direct you. If you're in need, turn to the Lord. He's your provider. He'll provide for you. If you're stressed or worried, turn to the Lord, our peace, and he will give you his peace. If you're alone, turn to the Lord who is there, and sure, he will be with you. If you're tired and you're low, then turn to the Lord who restores us. If you're ill, turn to the Lord, our healer. And if you've fallen into sin, turn to the Lord, our righteousness. For surely he is there. And he is there for you. And he's there with you. So in short, I'd say this. There is nothing that life can throw at you and at me in the next 12 months that you and he can't handle together. So in 2011, when the going gets tough and the chips are down, who are you going to turn to? Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are the Lord, our peace. Thank you that you are our shepherd. Thank you that you are our provider. Thank you that you are our healer. Thank you that you are our righteousness. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you are the ultimate provision for all our needs. We pray, Lord, that you would in each of our hearts cultivate a desire to spend time with you and to worship you for who you are. For as we do so, so we see the reality that that is who you are in our situation. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.